We have separation of church and state in this country. And then there on the front page of the newspaper is a picture of the president and two former presidents kneeling at the body of Pope John Paul II, awkwardly. That photograph depicts the somewhat uneasy relationship between the state and this particular church, my own. There's no embrace between the United States and the Roman Catholic Church, excluding all others, implicit in the act of presidential kneeling, or when a court of law uses canon law to interpret a civil case. But the awkwardness, the uneasiness is there. And so courts over the years have, in cases involving Catholicism and not, turned to canon law to get a flavor for what the church has to say about certain issues. As early as 1736, when the Supreme Court of Virginia preached that usury, excessive interest on debt, was said to be against the law of the church and therefore against the law of God. No matter, it ultimately concluded that usury within certain limits is A-OK. Language from a federal case from 40 years ago may say it best. Of course, canon law isn't binding on a court, but it's still helpful for the court to know what the canon law says about certain church-related matters, just to put it all in perspective. And sometimes, church law may help to determine how civil law applies to a particular question. Take, for example, the case of the Saint Bernard, as in the dog, not the original. There, canon law was used to find that the Archbishop of San Francisco had no control over a lone monk in Switzerland who allegedly broke a promise to send a St. Bernard dog to a California man upon receiving certain payments. As a result, under civil law, the church in San Francisco was not liable for breach of contract. Take the monk to court if you can, but not the Pope. And both canon law and civil law applied, of course, when a bishop in the 1920s wished to boot a priest for excessive drinking, gambling, and use of outrageous language, just as both forms of law apply to scenarios pulled from today's headlines. It wasn't and isn't always that easy, of course. Consider the holding from a groundbreaking case 150 years ago that now seems pretty intuitive. When a man kills his wife, can he then use the testimony of the priest who heard her last confession to prove that she'd had an affair? Well, no. And that was the ultimate conclusion of the court. But it first grappled with the conflict between canon law and civil law, ultimately finding that no matter what civil law in the United States required of witness testimony in the past, any priest forced to testify about a confession would be forced to leave the priesthood, and that all Catholics would fear confession, a sacrament within the church. No, you can't force the priest to testify. That same sort of conflict presents itself in cases ranging from who gets to be buried in Catholic cemeteries to how a probate court should define a bequest and payment for Catholic masses to which school a child raised a Catholic should attend upon her parents' divorce. Canon law is at least a reference, if not the ultimate deciding authority. So yes, as one court put it, the federal government is required to refrain from involving itself in ecclesiastical affairs. But a look at one may well invite the other. And respects paid the Pope are not purely ecclesiastical, but also civil, in both senses of that word. I'm Amy Guida.